This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, it's the noon hour, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that means. It's time to chat a little Mulberry Barbecue. Now, two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations, ladies and gentlemen, are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their delicious burn-in sandwich, a delicious brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, get incredible size, get fueled for lunch today, or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue. Also, shout out to Hamilton Telecommunications. Folks, they're going to bring you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. 125 years and still going strong. Learn more about the residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. You want to discuss the size of human beings or our schedule first?
Let's go with the size of human beings.
You like how I phrased
now
that?
Now I'm interested.
Yes. I tried to make it as, not as awkward, but like as unusual sounding as possible. Let's talk about the size of human beings, specifically linemen. So you look at, and again, this is all projection. I don't know who the five starting offensive linemen are going to be, but let's just say it's the three portal guys and the two guys returning with the most experience. It could look completely different than this. I would love for Grant Bricks to have a great spring and Preston Tamua to have a great camp and Sam Sledge to step up, and we'll see what happens. All those guys are very, very talented. But if it's Elijah Pritchett, Paul Mubenga, Justin Evans, Black, and Tree Babalade, Big Tree, all right, our average starting offensive line size of these human beings would be 6'4", 321. The second stringers, again, this is all projection. It's frickin' February. We'll see how this all plays out. Gunnar Gatulis, all right. Preston Tamua, Sam Sledge, Grant Bricks, Tyler Canuck. That second string O-line, depending on what pans out, combined average is 6'5", 317. How do those sizes hit you without me telling you what the typical size of power four lines are and Big Ten linemen are, Jake?
Just seems bigger than what Nebraska has been in the past. They've seeming like they're moving up. I think, you'll have some guys, obviously, Prochaska, some of these guys can kind of help factor into that when you got a 6'10 guy in there or whatever. But, it sounds like they've got the right amount of size in there. That doesn't seem to be the problem with the offensive line.
So I remember doing this last year, and I forget what the height was. We were taller because of Prochaska and some of those guys. I think the average height was like 6'5", 6'6". I mean, Prochaska is like 9'10". And he looks like it, too, when you stand next to him. But we were like 318. We weren't small by any stretch last year. A little more poundage this year. So you look at the average power four offensive lineman. Then we'll do Big Ten specifically. Now, this is based on data from 2017 to 2024. Admittedly, the Big Ten data was harder to find. Okay, Andy Jurassic helped me out with this. A little harder to find, but believe we've got an accurate enough info that we can roll with this. So the offensive line, power four, average in general, 6'3", 75 inches was specifically listed out here. So I thought that was interesting. 75 inches, we're going to go back to 6'3". And hold on, that's the D-line. Let me go back. 6'4 to 6'5, 6'4 to 6'5, which is 76 and a half inches and 301 pounds. Now, that's not the Big Ten. It jumps up in the Big Ten. That's power four. You go to the Big Ten, it's 6'4 to 6'5, and it is, let me see here, anywhere from 314 to 320 pounds. So we were over 320. So again, I've said for years, we have an experienced line, we have size. Like, we've always had that. Just got to find the consistency on the field. So the other side might be a little interesting to people. Talking about the defensive line, again, this is all projection. Okay. So at the ends, if this turns out to be the way that we think it might be, you got Cam Lenhart, 6'3", 270. Williams Wanieri, 6'7", 265. Inside, you got Van Poppel, Riley Van Poppel, 6'5", 295. Stoudemire, 6'1", 290. So the average would be 6'4", 280 pounds across the front if those were our four starting D linemen of the 4-2-5 defense. The backups, again, this is all projection. Okay. Jones, Whittington, Lefotu, Petschak, okay, 6'4", 277. So it is a little bit on the lighter side. We knew that already. You compare them to other power four D-lines. We're talking again. There was a 75 inches I read earlier, which was incorrect for the O-line, but is correct for the D-line. So 6 foot three, and it's about the mid 280s to 290s, like 285, 290. You get to the Big Ten, and it's relatively the same range, but the range I'm given, the bottom goes up. Instead of it being like 270, 275, it's now the lower end is 280, 285, all the way up to 300 plus. So again, you go back to our guys, the average, depending on who the four starters are, but who we wrote down here was Lenhart, Van Poppel, Stoudemire, Winery, 6'4", 280. So definitely a little bit on the lighter side. Not really at ends. I mean, 6'7", 265 is more of a pass rushing type D end, Williams, Winery, which we kind of know anyways. Cam Lenhart listed at 270. And again, they got a full offseason of lifting. So these weights could go up. In fact, they better go up, to be honest with you. You would expect them to go up. That's a fair thing to expect. You look at the number two projected defensive line. You got 265, 270, 300, 265. Whittington at 270, that's definitely light on the inside. I was listening to I can't remember what it was.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Somebody was talking about him, and they called him the little fellow, and I was like, ah, oh, that seems a little. It was just a passing comment too. It was on a show. It was during an interview. So they called him the little fellow, and I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But 6'4", 277 for the number two projected defensive line, the second string. So definitely a little bit lighter. I've said all along. I mean, we've only got a couple of guys listed. One guy listed at 300. One guy listed over 300. That's it. Similar to last year. So for me, we've got to be able to, if you can stunt and you can blitz and you can move around, you can do those things, that's great. But you don't want to have to do it all the time, because then it becomes predictable. When it becomes predictable, people know you're going to do it. And it's much easier to slide a protection, to have a certain blocking scheme that's game planned for you, and then you hit a crease. And when you got guys blitzing and you hit a crease, it means you don't have a lot of guys back. You got to be able to line up, hit people in the mouth, knock them back in your base defense without having to blitz all the time or be predictable in your blitzing, because that's how you keep offenses off balance. That's how you prevent giving up, you know, 73-yard touchdown runs and 50-whatever-yard touchdown runs to Michigan, because we actually held Michigan in check. If you take out those two plays, we actually defended the run really well. The problem is you can't take those out. And then Michigan averages over 6 yards per carry when you factor in those big, long touchdown runs, and those were huge swings in momentum. And factors in the game as well. Michigan, those runs just popped into my head. The Bryce Underwood had a 37-yard touchdown run as well, because I remember there was a third one. Those three runs were over 100 yards. You take those out, we actually did pretty good. But the problem is, it's not, hey, take out their worst plays and then let's keep score. It's like, no, you have to keep track of everything, and you can't afford to give up those big plays, even if you're containing them the rest of the time. You got to be able to knock people back. Do you have to be the biggest line in the world? No, Indiana wasn't that big. But you've got to be, you got to have some size. You got to be really good at what you do. It's just, it's easier to do it when you've got bigger bodies in the middle to clog it, make it more challenging on the O-line. It frees you up to do other things. Maybe your ends can get wider. I love to be in a wide nine. You angle and you're coming straight off the edge. It's hard to do that if you don't trust your guys in the middle. And I haven't studied Rob Archek's defense enough to know how much he does that. I'm going to look at it throughout the offseason. But when you hear some of these things, what are your thoughts on all this, Jake?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, and a reminder with those numbers, maybe he could get He'd get a signing day surprise with, or not surprise necessarily, but a gift from Dylan Berryman, who's 6'2", 330. I don't know if he'd factor into those two front lines, but you know, that is something I think a lot of people identified would be helpful. You know, even switching to a four-man line is somebody with that type of size that can play. Now, could he do it as a freshman? You know, Dylan Parrott's kind of got that size. Is he ready to go? He was in the transfer portal, came back. You know, so, you know, I think that's kind of interesting as well. But, you know, to your point, the rush defense was kind of bend but don't break, but breaking earlier in the season. Mm. But by the end of the season, and when teams are scoring 40 points on you, they're just kind of consistently moving the ball. So it really broke consistently at the end of the season.
Yeah, there was no bend, unfortunately. There was just the other word. The last three games. So you remember, I forget, it was like 8 games into the year, Nebraska hadn't allowed 400 total yards in a game. For the last three games, we gave up an average of well over 400 yards a game and over 40 points a game in those last three games, unfortunately. So when we come back, I get so nervous talking about like the schedule, looking at the schedule. It's fun. I like doing it, but you used the term yesterday that made me shudder. You can find a path. As soon as you said that, I was like, no, he said the term. Is there anything off the text line before we go to break? Because we will talk. I don't have any other thoughts on that for now. We will talk about the schedule a little bit when we come back. Is there any thoughts off the text line right now?
There was a question here from Ghost Mohawk, and this is not really on topic, but I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
Said, hey, Adam, would you rather have won a Super Bowl or a national championship with Nebraska?
Dude, you turned heel on all of Southwest High School. Am I supposed to turn heel on the entire state of Nebraska right now?
You can.
Well, I didn't win either. Just to be clear, I did get an awesome ring. It's a wedding ring, but I didn't get one related directly to football. So true story, when we were getting my wedding ring, I was with it was right before I got drafted. My wife was like, if you win a Super Bowl one day, your wedding ring's got to be able to hold up to that Super Bowl ring.
Mm.
Never ended up having to worry about that, unfortunately. So I tell the truth, or my version, or my how I see the truth to be, not my version of the truth, but how I see the truth from my perspective, my opinion, and I let the chips fall where they may. I would take a Super Bowl championship over a national championship. I just would. All right.
What? Why is that? Just pinnacle of the sport?
Are you kidding me? It's the freaking Super Bowl, man. Oh, yeah. It's the pinnacle of football. It doesn't get higher than that. You've got, I was going to make a joke, you know, Pop Warner championship and then the Super. That'd be a terrible joke. But my point is, yeah, I would take the Super Bowl. Yeah. I would. Yeah. But I can't tell you how badly I wanted to win something along those lines here at Nebraska. And the games that I remember aren't even the games where we, you know, had a big win or we played really well. I remember the games that were frustrating. The games that I still wake up sometimes thinking to. Tech, Texas in the snow, Oklahoma, stupid Auburn. Why we fake a punt on our 17? Anyways, do you know the games I'm talking about, or do I have to dive into?
No,
them?
I know.
Thank
man.
You. I don't want to. I didn't feel like going into any more detail. Those are the four games I think about the most. You know, people are like, what's your favorite memory? I have to think about that for a second. Every time, even though I know what it is now, I've been asked enough. I got asked the other night, I was doing a speaking gig. What's your favorite memory? I still have to think about it. If you ask me, what's the things you could change? Oh, boom. Immediately, those things pop into my head. That's just how I'm wired. It's how I operate. I did get a text going back to the system talk. You know, I've kind of used the building the plane while you're flying it analogy in the past.
Yeah.
On the system talk, just because you have a plane doesn't mean you know how to fly it. Thoughts? Or does that say enough?
Yeah, that says enough.
We'll see how well we fly the plane. Hopefully it's a smooth and not turbulent. Right, it's going to be turbulent, but hopefully the plane lands a little bit better in the future. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.